we talk good, we talk Bible, we talk, you know.
Yeah, that's good. You know, we always know not to judge a book by its cover, right?
That's right.
And not to show partiality to people. Sometimes, as the scripture says, we entertain angels unaware. Never know who we're. And God holds us accountable of how we treat everybody.
Yeah.
Definitely want to be praying for the folks in its path, and that the Lord would be merciful, which He always is. You know, scripture teaches us that He guides those storms.
Yeah.
Like a master ropesman on a ship that would guide the sails in its direction. The scriptures teach us that he does those things. And He has reasons why He brings them storms through. Sometimes He says it's for mercy's sake. Sometimes it's for judgment. And sometimes it's for the land's sake. So he guides the whirlwind. And we trust Him that His timing is always right. And He knows what's best for us. And He's our refuge. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's take a minute. Let's pray. Ask God's favor and help and blessings as we open up His word together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank You tonight that we can come before You and that we can pray and that we can adore You and worship You. And Lord, we come right now for that very reason. We come for that purpose, to worship You, to thank You for being so kind and gracious and gentle with us. Thank You for extending Your mercy over our life and for favoring us and being willing to enable us with Your grace to do a work that You must do in us and through us. We're grateful tonight that You do work in us to will and to do according to Your good pleasure. We often forfeit these great blessings that we have, these gifts that You've given us. I'm thinking about that story you gave us of the men with the talents of gold You gave them. And some used it to advance what You gave them, and others buried and didn't do anything with it. And I pray that wouldn't be us. We don't want to see our faith diminish. We want to see it blossom and grow. We want to see our hope increase and be built on the preservation of Your truth and Your way, so that when we do pray, we pray in faith and we pray with expectation and we expect with wisdom You to work and do things Your way for Your glory according to who You are. And then we benefit, and those around us get the benefit, and those that we pray for see Your hand of goodness in their life. And more than anything, that we have these on our list, we pray that You would rescue those that are perishing, that You would physically touch those that have physical needs, that You would equip and strengthen those that have emotional and mental problems right now for whatever reason, whether it be from a physical standpoint or whether it be simply that they're trusting in themselves or their circumstances or other things. We're just asking You to draw them towards You and open their eyes that they may see and that You may touch them and use them. So we're thankful that we can pray. We pray for those that are in the path of this storm, those that are already going through it right now, those that are being battered by the winds right now, that they would find refuge and hope in You. You limit our hands so that we turn to You. And we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did she bang her head? Oh, what a thing. She's not bothering nobody. Huh? Whoa. She hit her little head. You waved, she waved by. She was waving by. That's like Elizabeth. I talked with her yesterday, and she FaceTimed me with the kids and all. And she said, little Hazel, well, she fell asleep at 4 o'clock and woke up at 8 o'clock. And at 1:30, yeah, at 1:30 she was as strong at 1:30 in the morning as she was full of the day.
Mm-hmm. Her little cycle got off.
Yeah.
All right, y'all giving me something to work with. What y'all been gleaning as you've been going through the truth? What you been learning?
I'm not good at pronouncing words.
Neither am I. So, you...
I read Mark 5.
Mark 5. Mark 5:41. Then he took the child, verse 41, by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, Kumai, as Karen said, translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Remember, we've seen this already. Remember when we looked at that Sunday morning, how Matthew said that when Peter's mother-in-law was sick, all Jesus did was touch her.
Yeah.
And when he touched her, fever left. Luke said that he rebuked the fever.
Right.
But Mark said that he grabbed her by the hand and lifted her up to himself. We see this again, huh?
All this is true, though.
Yeah, all of it. That's right. Just how each one of them. So I believe he did all three things.
Sure.
It's just how they saw it.
It's perception.
That's right. But we see Mark again saying that he did what? He touched her, reached out his hand, got the child by the hand, and said, little girl, I say to you, arise.
Yes.
Talitha.
Now, what I saw here in chapter 5 was the woman, she believed. She had good belief, so she went to Jesus for healing.
The woman with the issue of the blood.
Yes. And faith in grabbing to him, she acted in her faith, made her whole.
The faith always, y'all keep down, biblical faith, authentic faith, always has a corresponding work. An act that goes with it. That's why he says faith without works is what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, there's no faith. It's not faith. It's genuine faith always has a corresponding obedient action with it.
Now the father of the girl had faith. He didn't live there. He he traveled. He had faith in Jesus. He traveled to him because his daughter was sick, not dead. His belief shifted, though, when he found out that the daughter is already dead. So now, you know, knowing that Jesus is going to make her heal is one thing. He could believe that, but to believe that he could bring her alive is another. So Jesus says, believe. Be not afraid, only believe.
Right. Which it's impossible to have faith without believing.
Right.
You know, when we believe what he says, we're entrusting, we're going to trust, and that faith is going to have an action, always have an action with it.
Right.
And faith, you know, you can believe something here, but not act on it.
Yeah.
How many of y'all have done that before? If you had a head knowledge that you believe, but you didn't necessarily believe it would be for you. You believed it could apply to other people, but not personally to you. A lot of that happens when people are going through some kind of trouble, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be relational, whether it be in a marriage. How many times we've ever counseled with somebody that was going through something that you honestly believe that God was able to bring them through it, or God was able to deliver them out of that situation, that he was able to do it, and that you've seen it, you knew that he's done it in the past, that he would do it now, that he could. He may not choose to do it, but you believe without any question in your mind that he could do it. But then something happened to you. Are you the one that was having the trouble with a relationship? And the same God that you believe could do it for somebody else, now you having trouble to believe that he could do it for you. Why? It's done gotten personal. Where now you have to act in faith upon this for yourself, that he's able to do it. And that happens every day. People do this every single day. Man, they believe God can do it for somebody else, but they're not the one walking out on the line. They're not the one walking the tightrope. It's easy to say I believe God can do it when I don't have to put my confidence in him to do it for me. But when I'm put on the line, now we're talking about something that has to act and take a next step, where I trust you, God, that you know what's best. You know what's right, and I believe you're able. And whatever you choose, kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember what they told Nebuchadnezzar? God is able to deliver us from the flame. But if he don't, it's okay.
Yeah.
We've still not been in the need of you, Nebuchadnezzar. That's okay. We believe he can, but he may not. But regardless, we're going to die for him today. Either way, how you look at it, we're going in that flame believing that we're going to trust him in his way, and we're not going to bow the knee to you. And they did, and God kept the flame from them. He didn't keep them from the furnace, but he kept the flame from them. To the point was such a supernatural miracle that the scripture says that there was no singe.
Yeah.
There was no scorch.
No smell.
And no smell of smoke. Now that right there, think about it. I mean, you've been around some hot flames before. Y'all have been around a hot flame or even grilling.
Right.
And it sends all the hair on your arm. You ever had that to you when it's hot? Even you take, for an example, don't take much. I got a little bitty burn right here on me when I was with the kids the last time. I had a pan of a bread that we toasted. It was like cinnamon toast bread for the morning. And I had that pan, and one of the girls come right. I pulled it out and was walking with it, and one of them come right under me. And I lifted it up. When I lifted it up, I mean, it was like that quick. I felt it, but I didn't think anything. Well, I mean, I've been burned enough to know that more likely it burnt me, but I totally forgot about it. Didn't leave no mark, no nothing. But later that night, we lay down and go to bed, and I'm laying in the bed, and I'm asleep now in the middle of the night, and I touch my arm, and I feel something on my arm. I thought it might have been a spider, it might have been something, and I just rolled it off and went right back to sleep. Next morning I woke up, and what it was a little scab that done formed from that burn, which I didn't even know was there. And right where I rolled it was like in a little center spot that it took out a little flesh with it, and it took it a little longer to heal up, but I didn't know. But it only took that quick.
Yeah.
But grilling over a hot grill, you're going to singe the hair on your arm. You get close to a super, super hot fire. I was watching one of them shows last night. It was later. You ever seen that one on some of them cooking channels? The guy's a man fire and food or something. He's big on about smoking meat, and it's all about a fire. And they were out in, I think, Napa Valley somewhere, and they had built this cooker. This daughter and the father did it for their wedding, and it was all made out of metal, of course, but it had a firebox underneath and a place to put a firebox on top. So you had a double flame going, and in the middle, which was all open, they would put in big fish in there along with potatoes and other things, onions, and they would lay a layer of salt and then put a layer of salt on top of it. And it was actually like a salt oven. So you had a flame on top and a flame on the bottom, and it was cooking from both sides. Well, that old boy from the show, every time you get close to it, he's like, whew, that thing is too hot. I can't get up on it. It's wanting to singe me. He had his pants on, and when he'd get up close to it, he had to get away and shake his leg off. because it was burning. It was that hot. So imagine a furnace used for that. Scripture says they heated it seven times its normal heating, to the point that the people that threw them in burn up.
Yeah.
But they went in and they come out and didn't even smell like smoke. That goes along with them dogs barking, right? Remember we talked about that, how God can keep the dogs from barking? Not only can he keep the dogs barking, then when Israel walked around Jericho, he told them not to say anything for those 6 days. They were to keep silent until he told them to shout. All those things are miracles that they simply trusted God, even though it didn't make sense. They had to believe him, had to put faith in what he said and walk in it. And God did the supernatural. And he does that for you and me as well. But when it comes down to me needing him to do something compared to me needing to do something for somebody else, it's a whole new area.
It's personal.
Yeah, when it becomes personal. When it becomes personal.
Mark 7, full of, I like the book where specific instruction in red.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's saying it. And a lot of it, I think, of Mark 7, without faith, would have a hard time understanding
it. Would. They have a hard time. The scriptures teach us that all the word of God is, uses this term, spiritually discerned. It takes the spirit to interpret the things of the spirit. It takes a work of God. That's why Jesus even says that Jesus had to open their understanding that they could comprehend the scriptures. Look in Luke chapter 24. Hold your spot there. Yes, the word of God is written toward the saints of God, the believing saints of God. Luke 24. The scripture says in verse number 44, toward the very end of the chapter, I'm going to read it, 44, the Gospel of Luke says, "Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." All the prophetic word had to be fulfilled. Verse 45, "And he," that is Jesus, "opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Here's men that walk with him, heard the word that he spoke to them verbally. You know, faith comes by what?
Hearing,
and hearing by the word of God. He had to open their understanding, and he's got to open our understanding as well. That's why when we read the truth, we're at his mercy. We're asking God, open our understanding that we can comprehend these things, that we can understand them and see them and not misuse them, not misapply them, not make them about us as much as they are about you, and us understanding and knowing you and you helping us understand what you're doing is going to put us in a position of knowing you more intimately and making you known. But God's got to be involved in it. Uh-huh.
And he said that when he was in school, like high school, that he just struggled
right
to learn.
Uh-huh.
And the teachers would tell his parents he tries. But
yeah.
He just can't get it. Well, he ended up going to college,
mm-hmm.
and he realized he just wasn't going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
He was just struggling too hard. And he met a girl there, and she had the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they ended up going to some services.
Mm-hmm.
And he said both of them, he not only did he open their minds to understand the scripture, but he opened their mind to learn academically.
Right.
And he has written books and all this
yeah.
stuff about how he changes you.
He does. He does.
And I just thought that was amazing.
He does. He did that for me. I was sharing with the FCA Tuesday morning. I shared with them those very same things that, look, I I was a dummy. I thought I was a dummy. And that was my biggest thing, more than anything, that I wanted to learn, but I didn't think I could learn. And even when I tried to apply myself to learn, I never learned anything. And I struggled bad with everything that I did. But when God opened my understanding to comprehend who He was, He began to teach me things about other things that at one point in time was a challenge for me. And He changed all that. And I shared with them about Proverbs 16:3, which says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and He shall establish your thoughts. Entrust your works to the Lord, and He shall establish your thoughts, your plans, everything that you are. He will establish that." And that's what He did in my life personally. But it goes back to this, that He, in His timing, because some of these things He spoke to them about, it wasn't timing for them to understand it. And He said, you would know it. They understood, even the scriptures tell us, they understood what He meant after the resurrection. When He spoke to them about certain things, they didn't comprehend it. But after the resurrection, and then they filled with His Spirit, what He told them previous to that, several years earlier, that they had no clue about, all of a sudden began to make perfectly clear sense to them. Amen. Like, wow, that's what He meant when He said this. Now they could see it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, I believe it is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The same thing with the parables. Jesus spoke in parables. Parables were a earthly story that had heavenly meaning to them. But the scripture says that He spoke in parables that people couldn't understand what He was talking about. And only His disciples that came to Him after He told the story and said, "Tell us what this meant," He sat down and then explained the parable to them. But the average person, when they heard it, had no clue what He was just telling them when He was telling the story. Now see, in our modern day, they want to flip it and say, well, Jesus was a storyteller. And He told stories to teach truth. Well, Jesus told stories to keep truth from people. Just the opposite. And it was only those that really, really wanted to know what He meant, what He said, that came to Him and said, "Help us with this. We want to know what you mean by this." And then He would explain the parable to them. And that's why I'll show you that passage in a moment, what it says. That's why Paul at times would make reference to things like this. He would say, "I'm going to talk to you according to the flesh because of the weakness that you have. You can't discern spiritual things, so I'm going to tell you this in a fleshly terms so I can try to get the point across to you. Because if I really told you from a spiritual sense, it'd go so far over your head, you wouldn't understand anything about it. So I'm going to tell you something." And he refers to it fleshly. So we don't want to get to where we got to have something fleshly to teach us something. We want God to be able to speak spiritually to us, and we can understand the wisdom of God without having to be spoon-fed some fleshly story. Are you with me? Amen. And so that's important for us. Let's see. He says, for an example, this right here. Look in verse number 9 of chapter number 2. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who" what?
"Love Him."
Love Him. Now, how many of y'all have ever heard that referenced at a funeral? That's normally where it gets spoke of. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about... Now, of course, we could include the things in heaven in this, but that's not what he's referring to. He's referring to the spiritual wisdom that we have in the fullness of Christ, that God has taught us these things. The average person, though they have eyes, they can't see it. Though they have ears, they can't hear it. Though they have a heart, they can't understand, they can't perceive it in the natural. But God's given us a supernatural ability to see the things that he's prepared for those that what? What's the condition?
Love him.
Those that love him. He goes on to say, verse 10, notice, verse 10 tells us, but God has revealed them to us, what he just mentioned, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So the only way to know things about God is through the Spirit of God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
There have to be spiritually discerned. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The only way to know them is through the Spirit. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what?
Spiritually discerned.
See, the natural man cannot receive spiritual things from God. God has to do a spiritual work in a man for him to understand the things of God. Because the only way to understand the things of God is by the Spirit of God. So that's why we see him say that he opened their comprehension, that they might comprehend and understand what the Scriptures were saying, because they're spiritually discerned. It takes a relationship. You got to love him. You got to be in love with him. You got to like him. You got to be in fellowship with him to know the things of God. That's where we see, for an example, Herod. Y'all remember Herod in our today's reading? Why did Herod throw John the Baptist in prison? He liked John the Baptist. Scripture says that. He was moved by John the Baptist. Scripture says he even feared John the Baptist. He liked him. But when it got personal, what did he do? He didn't want to kill him. He still liked him.
He went and popped his mouth off.
Pride got in his way.
I'll do anything for you. Well, then he done messed up.
Hey, he let the flesh, because he was a natural man, had no spiritual discernment whatsoever. He let his flesh dictate his life, and then he let pride bring, kill, or hurt a man of God for whom he had great respect for. If he could have wiggled his way out of it, he would have, but he couldn't because he done made a command. But he could have simply just said, "As look, I made a mistake. I can't give you that there. I spoke out of turn on that one, and I can't do that." Now that would have brought him down in front of those men. That would have crippled him in his realm, which he didn't have a whole lot of power anyway. His power was limited by what Rome gave him. It was more of a political structure type thing that he had. But Herod reminds me of a lot of people that like the things we say, like the things we do. They wouldn't try to harm us or hurt us unless we get personal.
They pick other things over you.
They will. They gonna. And then pride is going to keep them out there. Because they're going to open their mouth and say something that they, look, they, you ever heard that? I hate organized religion. You ever hear that? I hear that a lot. You see people be calling me, asking me questions. Can you help me with this? And the next thing they say, I hate organized religion. Well, that means you would be hating, which I understand about the difference between religion and relationships and all that. But when they say organized religion, they simply saying they hate anything to do with the church. A group of people gathering together and being a body of believers. And unless you get personal with something, like he did, he said, "Hey, you're sinning there marrying your brother's wife. And she had a daughter. And that daughter had them all turned up. And she come in and dance for them all, and he got carried away and began to talk out of his head and said, I'll give you the half of the kingdom. What do you want? She didn't know. But that woman whom John said he shouldn't have married, she took it personal, said, we want the head of John the Baptist. And it did you right. He didn't want to do it. But pride kept driving him. Man, I was thinking about that today, and I just got to think, boy, Herod looks like a lot of folks that we rub elbows with, that know us. They don't mind being around us. They like us. They respect us. But they don't have a relationship with Jesus. They like who we are. Now, if we went out and said something specifically about them, they would want to shut us up as well if they could. But as long as we don't harm them in any way, we're free to do whatever. And then they will boast and say things, and then they'll put us out to dry. They're going to go with something else. And that's exactly what happened with them. And I'll tell you, that Herod is really a major spirit of our society today.
And when he heard about Jesus, he thought it was John
coming back. Yeah, because it revisited the story. He was worried. See, it continued to get to him. Like, man, I made a mistake with that. John's coming back to get me now. And it shows you he was a spiritual, religious type thinking, cultural atmosphere type guy, but he did not have a relationship with Jesus. That was clear.
That's why he went to build the temple.
His dad.
Yeah, his dad.
His dad, Herod the Great. He's the one that tried to have Jesus. Remember all the babies?
Yeah.
Killed because he was threatening his realm, his power.
Right.
He's the one who was going to try to have him. And so we see this just way of living. It's crippling generations upon generations. So Herod looks like a lot of folks. I'd encourage you to go back through and read that story again and look at it and see how his mentality, his way of doing things, his way of thinking is very similar to the majority of people that you work with and that you know. He fits in that category.
What you said several times, pride comes into something that
we lose. Yes, we
lose.
In a relationship, when pride is pride wins, we lose. Mainly because God resists the proud. And if we're operating out of pride, which is a natural thing, we lose. And pride wins. Yes. Any others before we call it an evening? Anything else? Great points. Great things y'all brought up. But it's important for us. It's kind of like a little when learning how to talk, being exposed around mama, around family, around others, hearing people and learning what little things mean and how to respond, and all that is a learned traits. Well, in the kingdom, there are learned traits that we hear and learn, but you don't learn them from a natural perspective. They've got to be supernaturally learned, and they come through hearing from the Lord, hearing wisdom, hearing from Him, being exposed to God's people. And there's a principle that it's a law that God's put in effect. If we don't use something, we're going to lose it. See, if we don't operate and walk in faith, our faith diminishes. If we don't operate and walk in hope, our hope continues to flutter. It's just the way God's designed it to be, that we have to use what He's given us. I mean, if we took and tied up a leg and put it behind us and left it there for a couple weeks or a month or so and not use it, what's going to happen to the bottom part of our leg? What's going to happen to this leg? It's just every day it's going to weaken. It will become unusable. eventually, if you kept it that way, you might as well just cut it on off, because it's just going to rot. It's going to become unusable. Why? Everything God's given us is to be put in motion so that it can be used. Our faith has to be exercised. Our hope, our obedience, all that. And that's why we stay in the Word. And you can't get out of it and expect to retain it and keep it. He'll take it away. Got to keep it going. That's why it says, they that had but didn't put it to work, they that heard but didn't operate in it, he took from them. But those that walked in what he gave them, he gave them more. You want more from the Lord? Walk in what he gives you. Amen?
Amen.
Walk in what he gives you. Use what he gives you, and he'll keep giving you more. Every day. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you and praise you. We thank you for these truths that we've been reading through. I pray that you help us increase our faith, that we would believe you and believe you can and believe that you do and that you will what you say you'll do, and that we'll trust you for ourselves as well as interceding and trusting on the behalf of others. I think about those men that carried that paralyzed man on the bed. They believed that you were able to touch him and heal him. So they did what was necessary to get him to you. And I pray that when we believe that you're able to do something with somebody that can't get to you as well, that you would see our faith and that you would use us in unique ways. So we just praise you. We give you glory. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all.